Okay, good afternoon to you and welcome to Women's Focus. I'm Carol Boss, and that was Anita Franco opening up the program with the song Amendment, a long song that is very germane to the conversation we'll be having this afternoon. So let me put this question out to you before I introduce my first guest this afternoon. And the question, do men and women have equal rights in the United States? I ask you this because studies show that, and maybe it's changed since I found this percentage, but I read that 72% of Americans believe that the genders are equal under the U.S. Constitution. So how many of you think that's the case, that women and men have the same human and civil rights? The answer? Are you ready? A definitive no. Women and men do not have equal rights under federal law in the U.S. And with that said, I want to introduce you to my guests. Kamala Lopez is the director of the documentary Equal Means Equal, a documentary on the status of women in America. And she doesn't even think this should be a question anymore. She's an actress, activist, filmmaker, and president of Heroica Films. She founded the ERA Education Project, that's the Equal Rights Amendment Project, to raise public awareness about the need to ratify the ERA. Her film, Equal Means Equal, will be screened tomorrow, one time only, at the National Hispanic Cultural Center in Albuquerque. There are still seats available, and we're going to be giving out information in a little while as to how you can reserve one for yourself. That's for tomorrow afternoon. Also joining us in the studio, although she indicated she is not going to talk very much, is Liz Lopez. She's behind the scenes, a big behind-the-scenes person. She's an executive producer of the film, Equals Means Equal, and she's the mother of Kamala Lopez. And tomorrow's screening is a benefit for the Albuquerque chapter of NOW, the National Organization for Women. And joining us from NOW is Dr. Sylvia Ramos, and she is a force to behold. She is a medical doctor, a poet, and a hardworking activist who is now devoting a lot of her time, her energy, and passion to doing what it takes to ensure the ERA is ratified. So welcome, all of you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, I got to get your mics on. You could say thank you again now and then.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, that sounds like we have a lively group here. I had your headphones on, but not your mics up. So, Kamala, really, congratulations on this new film. I know it's been years in the making. And just to let people have a sense of who you are, what were you doing before you Equal Means Equal, and why and when did you decide to make this film?
Well, I began working on this project. It sort of happened. It was a weird situation where I had made a film about our first U.S. Congresswoman, Jeanette Rankin, and it's called A Single Woman, and I was showing it at the Smithsonian Institute as part of their Women of the Last Century exhibit. And when I was there, I was walking across the lobby, and I saw a reenactress. And this is where public funding for the arts really has impact, because it changed my life. This was a publicly funded art project at the Smithsonian, where different women were dressed up as different historical figures, and they would wander around just talking to people. And I went up to the woman, and I said, "Hi, who are you?" And she said, "I'm Alice Paul, and I'm back to haunt you because you've done nothing to pass the federal Equal Rights Amendment." And in that moment, it was something about the anachronistic thing that she was wearing, that outfit, the suffrage outfit, the fact that I had just made the movie about our first congresswoman and nobody knows who she is.
When was she congresswoman, by the way?
She was elected in 1917. And she actually, no one knows about her mainly, I believe, because she was a pacifist. She was the only member of Congress to vote against U.S. entry into both world wars. And she was eventually tarred with the brush of anti-Semitism, which was actually very, very far from the truth. She had lobbied Roosevelt to allow Jews to enter the country, but he turned the boats around, etc. In any case, when that woman at the Smithsonian told me that we still didn't have equal rights under the law, a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, well, this is silly. I mean, this doesn't make sense. We have... I knew that the gay movement was moving very, very quickly and since that moment, in fact, has achieved marriage equality. And I thought there's something really bizarre and like the Twilight Zone, about the fact that half of the population of the country doesn't have equal rights, and then a very small percentage is able to actualize more and more civil and human rights, whereas most of us are sitting here still second-class citizens.
So when you made, that was the first film you ever did, the one on Jeanette Rankin?
It was the first feature. I've made 12 short films.
Uh-huh. So you had an interest in, you know, I don't know the history. I certainly know of Jeanette Rankin. I can't even think of what state she's
so
from.
So she was from the territory of Montana.
Okay.
And she actually convinced over 80,000 men to vote for her.
That's extraordinary.
And then she got herself into
from
Congress.
The frontier.
And she had this big hat on. And you see in the picture, it's all men. And then this woman in the middle with a hat, they didn't even have bathrooms for her when she went in. And then she went in and we got the vote. So that the thing about Jeanette Rankin that's so inspiring is that she thought outside of the box. She didn't say, oh, they don't let me vote, so I won't be able to be in Congress. She said, they don't let me vote, so how do I get others to vote for me? Mm. And that's what I want us to start doing with the Equal Rights Amendment.
I know that you believe that the time really now is ripe for a big shift, and that is full equality for women. So I'd like to talk about this idea of this being the right time and its relationship to the Equal Rights Amendment, which has been around for a long time, as well as relationship to this election year, and connect some dots. But before we do that, I want to go to Sylvia now and ask her to give us – you mentioned Kamala Alice Paul. I want to ask you, Sylvia, to just give us a little history of the Equal Rights Amendment and from where it came and –
Certainly. So in 1920, the suffragists had achieved the goal of getting the vote for women in the Constitution. And many thought, we have the vote, we're going to be treated as equal citizens. But Alice Paul, who had been one of the women in the movement, thought not. She thought that women needed not only the right to vote, but to be included in the Constitution as equal citizens. She felt that women didn't need to have their rights protected. They needed to have their rights guaranteed. So in 1923, she wrote the Equal Rights Amendment, and it was introduced in Congress. And they tried for many, many years to get it introduced in Congress and passed. So in 1972, it actually came out of Congress and was sent to the states for ratification. And a period of 7 years was given during which it should be ratified. By the time that came along, we had 35 states, pardon me, and we still needed three. So the deadline was extended until 1982.
Do you know the Equal Rights Amendment, the section 1 by heart?
Yes.
Equality
of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or any state on account of sex. The whole amendment, all three parts of it that have to do with when it goes into effect, is like 51 words. So it's a very small, simple amendment. In any case, in 1982, the deadline closed. We didn't have the 38 states required. And every year since then, it has been reintroduced in Congress, but it has never gone out again to the states.
I want to talk about in a little while about why that has happened. But, yeah, thank you for that. So, really, when you think about that amendment, I think that's going to be a shock to a lot of people. I remember when I had first read that, 1923, the Equal Rights Amendment was written in 1923, and we're in another century right now. Mm-hmm. We're in another century.
It really speaks to a lack of respect. You know, it really speaks to an overall sort of, you know, you guys just aren't worthy of this level of respect. And that's the problem. It's a matter of principle. One of the things that I think we need to be worried about is when people start to break this down into the minutiae of, well, if you're an Asian woman between 22 and 28, you actually make 8% more than your white male counterparts. This is not the point of the Equal Rights Amendment. The Equal Rights Amendment is stating a basic principle about our country, that we believe all citizens, regardless of race, gender, religion, national origin, and anything else, are equal and should be treated equally under the law.
I'm wondering if there are any listeners right now who are thinking, wow, I thought the Equal Rights Amendment died a long time ago, or I thought it was passed, because there was all these this misinformation, mm-hmm. or people haven't been – it hasn't been presented in a way where it's really easy to assimilate, even though it's pretty simple.
Well, there are reasons for that. If you can get away with paying a woman 44 cents on the dollar, which is what Latinas are being paid, why on earth would you want to divulge the information that they're being legally ripped off?
If you just joined us, this is Women's Focus. My name is Carol Boss, and in the studio with me, you just heard from Camila Lopez, and she is the director and writer and the producer of Equal Means Equal. It is going to be screened at the National Hispanic Cultural Center tomorrow. There's going to be a meet and greet, essentially, with Camila at 3 o'clock. The film will start after that, and there's going to be a panel discussion if you can stick around even after that. And I can tell you the movie's fantastic. Have I seen the movie? No. But I have. But I saw the trailer, and I've read a lot about this movie, and I've learned a lot about you, Camila, just by reading about you. And I know there is so much passion there, and there is so much commitment. This movie is important, and it's great. I know already without having seen the movie. It's a great movie. And so it is an opportunity for you to see the movie. It is a ticketless event, and what you have to do, we're going to say it now, we'll say it later. So, Sylvia, tell people what you've got to do is reserve a seat for yourself, and you can either email or make a phone call.
Yes, so this is a free event, but we welcome donations to help the work of the Albuquerque chapter of NOW and
it's
the
It's a fundraiser
Women's
for NOW,
Law
right,
Center.
But essentially you don't need an actual
That's correct.
Paid ticket to
get And the way to get on the guest list is to call 322-7879, 505-322-7879, or email now.abqnm@gmail.com, now.abqnm@gmail.com. And we'll get you on the guest list, and we'll be happy to have you there.
Okay. Thanks, Sylvia. So why has it been such slow going, which is sort of an understatement? What is holding it up? We just talked about it was written in 1923. We're now in the 21st century. I know that polls have shown that the vast majority of Americans want equal rights for all. And, you know, I read this last night, that some of the surveys that show that intentionally left out the phrase Equal Rights Amendment to filter out any negative effects of misrepresentations and misperceptions that have been spread about or have been said about the Equal Rights Amendment. So I'm wondering, do you know what the misrepresentations and misperceptions are?
Well, for one thing, I think that people don't understand that it's an equal rights amendment, not a women's rights amendment. So it actually protects men a great deal as well, especially in the areas of family law. And there was something called tender presumption, which is still in effect in a lot of courts, which is that if the child is 3 years or younger, the court has a policy or a perception that they should be with their mother, regardless of, you know, the mother could be just a derelict and they would prefer to give the child to the mother. That would not be the case if the Equal Rights Amendment were passed.
Sylvia?
Yes, so there were many misrepresentations at the time. One would be that we would have, you know, same-sex gender bathrooms, that women would be drafted, that women who divorced would have to pay alimony or not get alimony because, after all, they were equal, that in many ways children would be disadvantaged or men would be disadvantaged because they wouldn't have rights to their children. So there were a lot of misperceptions that went on, and all of those things that they were worried about. Our society has evolved in so many ways. We do have same gender bathrooms. We do have marriage equality. What we don't have is equal pay for women. What we don't have is a guarantee of, you know, equality in our basic governing document, which is the Constitution.
It's appalling. It's shameful.
Well, what I'm going to ask now actually touches upon a couple of things that both of you had said. So it really is unbelievable, as you said, Sylvia, that every year it has been reintroduced, and I think it's by Democratic lawmakers. And
Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney is the sponsor.
Yeah, and even with the broad support for it that it has across the country, as surveys show, and there's bipartisan support for it, there are these forces. I don't know if I should be subjective and say evil forces or unknown forces that have choked its progress in states and federal legislatures. So what are these forces? You talked about why would people want to pay, if women are being paid 44 cents to the dollar, why would they want them, you know, corporations mm-hmm. and whatever. But what more can be said about mm-hmm. what these forces are that every single year when there's such broad support, it's unbelievable.
I just want to say two things. One, to clarify, New Mexico ratified the Equal Rights Amendment right away in 1973. And there are many women around still who were part of that struggle. And sometimes people get confused. They'll think, well, we already did that. Why do we need to do it again? It's because the national ERA has not been ratified. And two, I was going to say that at the start of the Equal Rights Amendment.
Wait. Let me back up for a minute in case there's confusion over just a
22 states have state equal rights amendments.
Thank you. That was what I was going to say.
Well, we have both. We ratified the national ERA amendment,
right.
And we then added it to our Constitution right away. So very progressive thinking state. The other thing I was going to say is that even though there's my train of thought. Oh, dread.
I just want to reiterate that even though states can be progressive and states can have ERA, the fact that it is not federal allows for very differences in each state. So it allows for varying degrees of equality, varying things are included, loopholes are created, etc. My point simply is that we need a basic floor, a foundation upon which to build women's lives. And right now the floor is quicksand.
And that's exactly right. You know, it's like what's happening now in terms of reproductive health and laws that are being passed in one state that are not in the other state. And so that if a woman moves from, let's say, Oklahoma to Missouri, she may be subject to different laws just for the sake of assuring herself reproductive rights. So it's an imbalance. And I agree with you that there has to be a way where nationally women are recognized to be equal to men under the law, and therefore we should be able not to pass these laws that are really discriminatory only of women.
Exactly. It would deal with the issue of disparate impact, because right now a lot of discrimination is hidden by something where you go, well, he's a janitor, so I'm paying him $20 an hour, but she's the maid. It's the same hotel, but because he's a janitor and it's called something else. Now, that is hidden discrimination, because most maids are going to be female and most janitors are going to be male. So if you don't address the basic, what is it that they do? You know, if they're both cleaning, why are they being paid differently? If you don't address disparate impact, you cannot address discrimination.
Let's talk specifically about the film now, Equal Means Equal. What a great title that is. It's a perfect title. That's what got my attention. I got an email from Sylvia and she said, da-da-da-da is coming up. Would you announce it on the air? And I saw the name Equal Means Equal. I said, Equal Means Equal. And I looked it up and I said, announce it? I want to interview the director.
It is kind of simplistic and reductive, but in a way, that's what it is.
Oh, it's perfect.
It is that simple.
And equal means equal, dummy.
Yeah, you could add that at the end. You know, because I want people to understand it's not complicated. Simple equality is not complicated. That's what Alice Paul always said. There's nothing confusing about it. It's just look into your heart and soul and think, do you want people to be treated the same under the law? And I think we all do. I mean, this is what America is. This is the country was created for this explicit purpose. How is it that we have been deliberately excluding 51% of us and that we've sort of gone along with it?
Let's talk about Equal Means Equal, which is the film that Camila Lopez directed and produced and wrote. You essentially took a journey across this country, interviewed lots of women in lots of fields, different economic
Strata. Yeah, different races, ages, economic strata, different levels of education, all analyzing. Originally, it was 26 different subject areas.
And what were you looking for? What were you wanting from this
I was one? Looking for a common reason, an underlying connection among all of these issues that were negatively impacting women, and to try and assess whether there was something that we could actually point to explain this. I mean, there are 3 women killed every single day from domestic violence, and it continues. Why would that stand, right? Because it seems extreme.
What are some other issues?
Pregnancy discrimination is a big one. I mean, it's horrific what's going on with the laws, and the fact that our Pregnancy Discrimination Act doesn't see pregnancy discrimination as gender discrimination. They manage to somehow make it that if you're pregnant, if we discriminate against you because you're pregnant, it's not because you're female. So then it begs the question, well, how many non-female pregnant creatures are running around there that you're protecting? I mean, it's just convoluted. Pregnancy, domestic violence, rape and sexual assault, the pay gap, international women's rights, and the fact that we don't ratify CEDAW, the international treaty to protect women. It's because we don't want to ratify ERA, because it would, if we ratified CEDAW, it would grandfather in ERA. So we are letting women get shot in the head, stoned to death, honor killed, and everything else because we literally don't want to give our own women the pay they deserve. That's disgusting.
You went around and you talked to all these people. You interviewed them.
That was just the beginning. Then I had to do the myself and my writing partner, Jenny Sykes, had to take over 100 transcripts of, 70, 80, 90 pages each and go through all of them and basically distinguish what, for instance, Martha Burke, a brilliant woman
from here,
who is a big part of our film, she spoke on multiple issues. She didn't just speak about the gender pay gap, which is her area of expertise. She also spoke about reproductive rights and the situation with birth control, which is fascinating, and the attempt now to eliminate birth control. Forget abortion rights. And so with each individual, I would take portions that they said and put it into these 26 different categories. So what did Martha say about pregnancy? What did Gloria say about pregnancy? What did the woman that was discriminated against that lost her baby say about it? And then I would look at each bin. And so then the bin itself for pregnancy would be 2 or 3 hours long. And I would be able to see what is the whole story with pregnancy, and then eventually bring that down and down and down till maybe it's 7 minutes in the film. But it makes the case, hopefully, clearly as to why we need federal equal rights amendment and how that relates to that particular issue.
Well, I'm sure you heard a lot of powerful stories, and I'm wondering, when you went around talking to so many different people, were there moments when you were so impacted in a way that in some ways it changed the trajectory of the film because you got sort of like those aha moments?
There were so many of those, and the main one I have to say is the fact that every single woman on my crew, because my crew was pretty much mostly women, had massive sort of PTSD moments during the filming.
From the stories.
One of my main director of photography had to run out during the filming, and she was literally the person filming, because her mother was killed in a domestic violence incident on her own wedding night. And in listening to the stories of this particular woman, which is just so horrific, she literally had to leave. She couldn't stay. And I have had audience after audience member incapacitated. We need social workers in the room. We need doctors. We need people to look at what has been going on to women and how they have been pushing this down, not telling people what's been going on with them. And now that they have the opportunity to talk about it, it's almost overwhelming because it's been hidden for so long. I mean, half of the questions we got at one screening had to be directed to law enforcement. That's what we're talking about. It's an epidemic. It's a silent epidemic of brutality, and it has to be dealt with legally.
You know, there might be people thinking, well, we have the 14th Amendment.
We have so many laws, and they all fail.
Right. And I think, I don't know if this was an aha moment for you, but it was when I read this. I think I read this somewhere in some piece about the movie, or it was on the website, about the late Scalia.
Yeah.
Well, Supreme Court Justice Scalia.
God bless Supreme Court Justice Scalia. He is our greatest friend in this movement.
Believe it or not, that's what you're hearing.
Yes, right, because Scalia said the truth. He didn't mince words. He explained to the public that the Constitution was written in 1787, where women were not part of the social and political structure. They were not. They were deliberately excluded. That was the way the society worked. Mm-hmm. We had separate spheres. The woman's sphere was in the home. The male sphere was outside of the home. And he said very clearly, if you want that to be different, if the society has changed, then you must change the Constitution, because you're trying to shoehorn women into the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, which is the exact place where the word male was put into the Constitution for the first time.
Right.
We're trying to use the Equal Pay Act, the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, Title IX, Title VII, all of these things are band-aids, stopgap measures, because we refuse to just afford women the respect, the overall respect they deserve.
Well, it's kind of ironic because he unintentionally got everybody all fired up about this. That certainly was not his intent to do a big favor.
Oh, God works in mysterious
ways. Yeah, isn't it? Right. So was that kind of amazing to you or did you fully understand before that there was nothing in the Constitution?
I understood nothing.
Yeah.
I'm whoever's listening to this, I am you. I knew nothing about it. I'm not a feminist studies person. I didn't study that in school. I didn't know anything about it. I just was a very sort of confident young woman that thought I knew it all and could be whatever I wanted and do whatever I wanted. And when I found out that that was all a lie, it made me really, really angry. I find it offensive that they tell us that we are at the top of the world, that we can be president or, you know, anything we want, when the whole system is jerry-rigged to make us look like failures, and specifically Latina women, to make us look like we have to use the system, like we have no discipline, we have no work ethic, when we're in fact the opposite of that. We work harder than everybody else, we do more than everybody else, and we get less than everybody else. And I refuse to allow Latinas to believe that it's their fault anymore.
Okay, we've got a director here, Camila Lopez, who is fully engaged with these issues. That's how great films come, fully engaged. You talk a lot in public about this?
I do, and I speak to as many groups as I can, especially younger women, because I feel like young women are being sold a bill of goods. They're going to run up against this discrimination at some point in their
lives. And
at this
point, there's a lot of younger women, girls, women, young women, who think, if they do know about the Equal Rights Amendment, that, oh, surely that was passed because we're all equal,
or
right?
We don't need it anymore because
we've
got it all. You know, I mean, I spoke to a woman that was making six figures. She said, I make a lot more. I make, you know, over $200,000 a year. I don't have any problems. And to those women, I say, the fact of the matter is that you will lose $2 million by the time you retire. So even if you are making $200,000, you're still losing money.
Because you're not
money.
Getting what the male pension, in the same position.
Exactly. Yeah. Your pension and health will be 50% of what your male counterparts is. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I'd like to ask you, do you care about the girls in Africa that were taken from their schools and sold off and raped? Do you care about them when you make $200,000 a year? Do you care about any other of these young girls in the south of this country where 80% of their counties have no health care, nowhere to go if you're a poor woman? I beg you to think a little bit outside of your own family and your own self.
You know, just the fact that you mentioned Africa, I want to bring this up. I heard on NPR News this morning when I was driving to KUNM that there's this huge scandal now that is growing. I don't know if you heard that, with the United Nations, that the United Nations peacekeeper forces that they're sent into I just know particularly the Central African Republic have been abusing women.
Actually, it's more than that. They've been abusing children.
Children.
Credible accounts of these forces going in and really using children.
So after civil wars, they are sent in to keep peace and everything together in an area. Mm-hmm. And now they've discovered they've been raping and abusing in many different ways.
So we come to the point in this conversation where I think we need to pull back and get really meta about the situation of the world, right? We're living in a world that's completely out of balance. We're living in a world where women have less than 30% participation in any area, where they own less than 10% of the wealth of the world. And we are seeing how a planet out of balance is heading towards disintegration on so many levels, whether it's the animals and all the species dying, the oceans dying, our air polluted, our water, our food supply, our politics bought and paid for by a handful of rich people. We are looking at a situation that demands the increase of power for women and all of the qualities that women bring to rebalance this situation in the world, because the planet will not survive until women take control of the situation and stop apologizing for the men and be true partners to them in their strength and their power, and saying, you know what, you guys, you've had 500 years, we've done it your way, and now step aside and let us do what we do best.
So that's the perfect connecting of the dots as far as I'm concerned. You're bringing it all together right now. And, you know, I was thinking about making a connection, and you did this in a large sense just now. We think about in this country the absolutely insane, crazy political climate that we're in this election year is, you know, unfathomable. You know, we never thought the election year was going to look like this. And with that, you saying this is really the perfect time right now.
It's the only time, though, because this is the window. The door is closing. If we don't do this year, if we don't do this now, you look at how they are parsing out protesters and putting us to the side, our voices are being shut down bit by bit. And I think the internet is our last sort of ability to communicate massively without having capital. We need to use our cultural and political capital to fight actual capital before the door closes, and women will be the ones that pay the highest price.
If you just joined us, let me tell you who you're listening to right now. Kamala Lopez, impassioned director of Equal Means Equal, a brand new documentary film. We are lucky we're getting a screening here in Albuquerque tomorrow. It's at the National Hispanic Cultural Center in the Bank of America Theater, which is in the Roy Disney Complex. I think many of you have probably been there. And there will be the opportunity to meet and talk with Kamala at 3:00 in the afternoon. And then after that, so there's going to be a reception and a meeting. And then the film will be screened. And then there's going to be a panel discussion, which will include Martha Burke, who you just made reference to before, and some other local women here representing, you know, some different organizations.
And I wanted to just mention the panelists, because I think it's an exciting panel. Aside from Kamala, whom you're already excited about and know a little about, and Martha Burke, who's a political psychologist and an advocate for women's rights and who is in the movie, there will be Janela Storga Ramos, no relation to me, who's a UNM freshman, an intern at Southwest Organizing Project. So we'll have a very young voice there. Pamela Herndon, who's the executive director of the Southwest Women's Law Center, and they are doing work on pay equity and pregnancy rights right now. And there will be Amber Royster, who is the executive director of Equality New Mexico, who is our local LGBTQ organization that has been very active in the legislature this past month or so. And so all of these women together are going to give us a great afternoon of thought and equality.
Thank you, Sylvia. So, Kamala, one thing we didn't mention is that you created the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendments Education Project.
Yeah, that's how this whole thing started, was that I realized if I was uneducated on the subject, then the chances were that there were a lot of people that were also in the dark. And it turns out that it's 80% of the population, which I feel is a civil rights violation, in that the omission of that information has such a profound effect on each citizen that the fact that they don't know it, it seems, you know, like it should not be. It seems like they should know,
like,
that
malpractice.
Yes, it's some kind of violation. Well, I protest.
Well, in this country and certainly worldwide, women really carry the heaviness of economic injustice and violence and poverty and hunger. And I think I read this under your education project, that the studies show that improving the condition of women, and this is a no-brainer, raises the standard of living for the community as a whole.
Of course, because women make 87% of the purchasing decisions. Women are not the types to go get a special bank account in the Cayman Islands. They've got diapers to buy. You know what I mean? They've got kids to put through school. So if you want to see our economy grow, you've got to put money in the hands of people that spend money, not people that hoard money.
Well said. And Kamala's mother, executive producer Liz Lopez, is smiling. Do you want to? You know, the mic is open if you want to say anything at all.
No, it's perfect.
Okay, great.
She's my biggest fan.
And must be very proud.
Well, you know, the injustices have to be taken care of. It really does.
Right.
There's too much injustice.
There is too much injustice. So I want to talk a little bit about the power of celebrity. One of the executive producers, because there's a couple of them on the film, is Patricia Arquette. And as many of you know, she's a really fine actress. And in the year 2015, she won the Academy Award as Best Supporting Actress, really fine performance in Boyhood, which was an amazing film in itself. And if you were watching that evening, you'll remember that she used that short opportunity that you have to talk. And you've seen other celebrities do this, but it was really amazing. Mm-hmm. She talked about pay inequity. And she managed to get that in 30 seconds or less. And there were millions of people worldwide watching that. And she even said something this year, very briefly, because she came on stage, because since she won last year, she was the one to present the award to the Best Supporting Actress this year. So she still got to say something, as did Leonardo DiCaprio when he won Best Academy Award. I was like, using one celebrity to really do good in the world. And she's a huge supporter of this film. She is an executive.
And she's in the film as well.
And that's right, to interview her as well. And I don't particularly want that to be the reason that people come see the film, but we've got some really substantial people who are supporting this film and know it's really important. I went ahead and looked at YouTube to see that moment last year when Patricia Arquette said what she did. And there they have a shot of Meryl Streep just pumping her arm in the air. Yes, like, right on, right on, sister.
And I have to say, Meryl Streep thereafter did deliver a copy of the book, Equal Means Equal, to each member of Congress. And none of them wrote back to her.
Yes, I did read that.
So, you know, we do have to have more celebrity speaking about it. We have to have people speaking about it constantly. And it can't just be women. It also has to be male celebrities talking about
right.
it. And especially, I would say, men of color, men in the African American communities and Latino communities. It would be very, very powerful if celebrities that were male would stand up for this. Because a lot of our men have been raised by single mothers. And single mothers bringing home, you know, in the case of African-American women, bringing home 68 cents on the dollar and raising children. It really is about our children and why don't we want them to be treated properly? We say we love children so much. But then if you look at the way we actually treat them, it doesn't seem like we do.
No, I actually think once I'm finished with the Equal Rights Amendment and get it all ratified and in the Constitution, I'm going to work on children's rights.
Yes.
Because children are really the only people in the world who have no rights. And as I've said to some people, the laws that cover the protection of children come from laws having to deal with animal rights. Animals got rights in the law before children have. And it's awful. And the thing that's happening to kids in Africa being abused by the United Nations forces, it's, you know, brings it right up front.
Right.
But it's here also.
Oh, yes.
Talk about
it. I mean,
that.
Child abuse, one of the things I discovered after 7 years is that the root of all evil is child abuse. If you treat a child properly from the day they're born and you want them, they will not do any bad things. They just won't. They will be a love-filled person. If you abuse a child, they spend the rest of their life dealing with that abuse in some way or another, either overcompensating for it and becoming, you know, like in the case of a lot of girls having sexual disorders that relate to that, or going the other direction and becoming abusers themselves. I interviewed women that talked. I was very interested on the psychology of pimps because pimps are brutal. I mean, it's brutal. If you see, that was the most difficult part of the movie, is seeing 11-year-old children brutalized by these pimps. And when I talked to a woman that runs the largest shelter for these girls, she said pimps watched their mothers be beaten, raped, and abused. And they identified with the person in power. So even though the pimp will put his mother up and put everything in her name, elevate her status, et cetera, he's still abusing 11-year-olds himself. And so I asked the woman, well, why doesn't the mother of the pimp then say to her son, son, don't do that to these little girls? And she said to me, oh, Kamala, don't come to me with your bourgeois bull beep. These people have never been shown empathy. How do you expect them to show it to anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree with you. I think, you know, the plight of children in this country and everywhere in the world is something that is sad and won't change until people take up arms to do something about it. And I'm hopeful we will. And bringing about the Equal Rights Amendment, elevating the status of women in our society.
That will have
will
a
be
big
a
effect.
Great, right, a great example to others around the world, whom we're always trying to tell we're the best. And also will elevate the consciousness of many women. And that can only help children, and it can only help families.
Exactly.
Course.
I agree with that. And I think this imbalance issue is really at the crux of it, because when things are balanced and harmonious, we won't need to kick our dogs or beat our children or kill our wives or do any of these things.
Well, you talk to people from many different organizations. It sounds like probably a lot of nonprofits.
Tons of them.
And there's something about this one particular issue which I'm not sure I know what I'm saying right now.
Well,
but
the ERA raises all boats.
It's right, exactly.
All boats
right,
are raised.
It
doesn't matter if you're a homeless woman on the street, if you're a multimillionaire.
We're all the same. Right,
we're all the same.
Exactly.
We all deserve human and civil rights under the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that, even just saying that we deserve that, will elevate the stature of the United States in its principles. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to get back. Because we've gone off the rails. Our principles have been lost in the service of capital. And we've got to get it back on track. And women will do that for this country.
Do you remember a number of years ago, and this was for years, that we would have politicians say, we have, this is one example, we have the best health care in the country. America. Nobody says that anymore. I have not heard one person running for office dare to say that. And that goes true. I mean, and we are derailing. And people are, I think people are all over the world are concerned about who we might nominate as our presidential candidate. Because I think they have a better sense of what the heck is going on. And, yeah, I think it's really tragic. And so, yeah, this makes all of this even more compelling.
And one thing, at the beginning, the Equal Rights Amendment had bipartisan support. Nixon supported it, and all the Republican wives would come out in favor of it. And so it wasn't really derailed by Republicans versus Democrats at that point. It was other interests that really got us off the rails and gave Phyllis Schlafly the power in some way to, you know, not to
propagandize to, put fear into American women that they were going to have to go to war and do all these crazy things. Let me just clear that up. The United States has the right to send anybody to war at any time. They were about to draft nurses during Korea, so let's just, you know. And 20% of our military is right now female, and they need the ERA to be paid and promoted properly and to stop being raped constantly and have no recourse whatsoever.
And that is exactly right. And if we're going to go to a draft, which I don't want to talk about a draft.
Will never
happen. But if we go to a draft, it seems to me that women should only be drafted when they're added to the Constitution as equal citizens of this country.
Oh,
at that point, I'm fine with it if, you know, if
everybody's
we have the
getting
same
drafted.
Rights, of course.
Exactly.
But we have to be in the Constitution.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're not looking for anything special. We're not saying you have got to give us more rights. We just want the ones
or
that,
better rights.
Yeah.
Men, their rights and nothing more. Women, their rights and nothing less is what I think Katie Stanton said way back. Men, their rights and nothing more. So, women, their rights
and
nothing
less.
So in other words, equal means equal.
There you are.
And equal means equal is going to be screened tomorrow. One screening only. This is your chance. One screening only. If you think I'm plugging it, I have to admit I'm shamelessly plugging this because I think this is a really important film. And it's really wonderful to have the director here at the screening and here in the studio today. And it's an opportunity to meet her. She is... you may have seen her in the movies on television. Just go into a little personal thing at first. What are some of the movies you've been in and TV shows?
Well, I started my acting career on Sesame Street. So,
I didn't know
so
that.
So I had Big Bird to work with and
how old
Oscar.
Were you when you were on Sesame Street?
14, I guess.
Wow.
14.
Oh, my daughter was on it when she was like 6.
Ah. Well, so that was a very good entree for me because the people were lovely. But then I've done over 30 movies. The biggest ones that people would know are probably still Born in East L.A. and I Heart Huckabees and Clear and Present Danger. I did a lot of television as well.
You were in The Mentalist?
Was it just, yeah, I did a Mentalist. Yeah, and I'm still acting. And I
Chico Mendes story.
Oh, the Raul Julia story. One about the rubber tappers in Mexico. Mm. I mean, in Brazil.
And you hosted a PBS show that we never carried here.
Wired Science, which was a great show about science and technology.
So you're still doing any of this kind of stuff to pay the bills?
No, yeah, I do. I do. I do acting, and I hope to do a lot more of it now that I'm done with the movie. But I do think that this was something I had to do. I didn't really have a choice on it. It was just, you know, I just was too irritated. I just was too astonished, irritated, and I felt like it was my obligation to educate people about this because I do think it's a civil rights violation to be an idiot. If I don't want to be an idiot, I'd rather not be an idiot. And if people are making me an idiot by keeping things from me, I think that that's wrong.
This is right from the mouth of the director.
I totally agree.
A graduate of what, Yale?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I apologize
for
all the people that have come from there. There have been some good ones,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were apologizing for being at Yale. Okay.
No, I mean, you know, like Yale is the garden of good and evil as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The entire, you know, the entire financial crisis was in the hands of my classmates. And to a great degree, I hold them to
right?
it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Morgan Stanley, Lehman Brothers, all Solomon Brothers, those were my peers, you know. And I feel like they also, that class, the elite intelligentsia, needs to also start putting empathy and humanity up on the list a little higher than yachts and, you know, small islands.
So thank you, Sylvia.
You're most
for
welcome,
bringing this
my dear.
To my attention and having this opportunity.
This was lovely.
This is a perfect thing for Women's History Month.
Thank you, Carol, yeah. for having me on your show. Yeah. I really appreciate
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad that you can come. And thank you, Liz Lopez. And I bet this has been a great adventure for you to be an executive producer.
It was very difficult because most of the time she spent crying. But, however, the end product is very nice.
And, she's not crying today.
No. And I want to have a special thank to Sylvia Ramos because –
yeah,
she has been working so hard on this,
yes.
and she made this possible.
Oh, she's very lovely. Thank you very
much. Yeah, Sylvia Ramos has been doing incredible work on these issues, specifically the Equal Rights Amendment. And tell us where you're from, Liz Lopez.
Well, I come from the southern tip of India, but I come from the world. And then I went.
You come
to
from
Venezuela.
The world? Is that what
yeah,
you said?
I do.
Yeah.
I
she
do.
Was born in Rangoon, Burma.
In Burma.
Grew up in India. And then got on the QE2 when she was 15 years old because America sounded like a place she wanted to see because she learned about it in the history books and what we stand for.
I did, actually. And I asked my grandpa and I came here. And then I met her dad and went to Venezuela. So I feel. I think that we were an incredible example of what we can be, and this is not what we are.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to make it better.
That's right.
And I think that each generation has to take over and make it better each time in every way possible, and I think that's very important.
Where do you live, Liz? Are you in New York?
I used to. I live in
California
near
Oh, that's
Kamala.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks. A woman of few words, but very powerful.
Yes.
Thank you.